Hello and welcome to this podcast produced by the Northern Region of the University and College Union. My name is John Bryan, and in this episode, we're looking at the issue of workload.
We are standing up together for fair work, for contracts that make sense, that don't mean that we have to defer decisions to have families, that don't mean that our relationships are destroyed, that don't mean that we are working every hour and then some and feeling guilty about taking some time off at the weekend.
That was Vicky Blake, UCU's national president, speaking to a rally of strikers in Durham in February 2020. Those on strike were at Newcastle University and Durham University, taking action over a number of issues, one of which was workload, part of the Four Fights campaign, which involved every HE institution in the region and across the country. Now, in higher education, our Four Fights campaign, our national negotiators have said to employers that we are willing to devolve the implementation and enforcement of a national agreement on workload down to the level of individual institutions. But there are still some issues which we are not reaching agreement on nationally. On workload in particular, UCU maintains that workload models need to be realistic, accurate, comprehensive reflections of the hours which staff actually work. UCU also believe that staff should not be assigned more work than their annual workload quota permits. Finally, we believe that institutions should provide campus trade unions with data on staff reporting to occupational health for workload-related reasons. These are national campaign issues in higher education, which we have been campaigning and taking action on. In further education, unions often locally put in claims on workload where we identify particular issues which need to be addressed and we campaign and rally around them. In both HE and FE, the regional office can be there to assist branches with issues which they want to take up on workload. And in this podcast, we're looking at ways in which they can do that. For the last few years, the TUC have organised an annual event, Work Your Proper Hours Day. This is around the end of February every year. It's a day when we effectively start getting paid for the job that we do. They've calculated that for the first part of the year, that for all of January and for most of February, we have in effect done unpaid overtime. In 2019, the TUC said that UK workers gave their employers £35 billion worth of free labour for that year, a staggering total of 2 billion unpaid hours. Now, Work Your Proper Hours Day is a good target for each branch to work towards. It's a day that you can highlight the unpaid overtime that we do. We often get asked about how you do something about the issue of workload. Surveys show that jobs that continue to have the highest number of people doing unpaid overtime are in education, specifically teachers and lecturers. In 2016, the union carried out extensive research with over 18,000 of our members responding to our questionnaire. Members working in further and higher education reported that on average they were doing over 50 hours a week of work. That means that on average, 2 days a week of work are being done on unpaid overtime. So the evidence is there that workload is a real issue. And members reported that it had become increasingly difficult over the last few years. So what can you do to start campaigning about it in your institution? Well, you can do your own survey. This is a good and legitimate thing to do. However, please make sure that this isn't an end in its own right. It should be a way of involving members and involving others in a discussion about the issues of workload and the jobs that you all do. A survey can be done quite quickly and in the regional office we can help you to do that. But it also can be time consuming and, as mentioned, it can be seen as an end in its own right. That's certainly not the reason why the union would do it. It's about starting a conversation about workload, the tasks that you are being asked to do, the duplication, the pointless tasks, the repetitive things, those things that appear to have very little to do with the job. Often you know what they are, but identifying them through a survey might be a useful activity, along with suggestions about how things might be done better and how things might be done differently. You can then begin to put those things together and table those to management. If you decide to carry out a survey on workload, make sure that some of the questions you ask are very open so that members can express their ideas. Asking a question as broad as "What are the sort of workload issues that concern you?" can generate a whole range of responses. This is important. Members need to be able to express what their concerns are, and we cannot make assumptions that we know exactly what they are, particularly during this time when working may be very different at this time than it was 12 months ago. Members may be working from home, they may be working in different buildings, or preparing different materials, so we need to find out exactly what the issues are which concern them. As well as this, we need to involve members in making solutions to these issues. Ask members what are the types of things that could be done at their institution which would make their workload better. Answers and solutions from members can be put together and put to management. We can then begin to address and campaign around these issues and try and make work a better place for people to be. There are some very simple but effective ways you can begin to make changes in not only your workload, but also the culture of work amongst your colleagues, your section, your department, or indeed the whole educational establishment where you work. For example, not answering work emails outside of what would normally be considered working hours. It's important that you protect the time that you have for yourself, your family, outside of working time. We often have individuals who work on a part-time basis complain that they're available or are assumed to be available for the entire working week. There are various different ways that you can send the message to others that in fact your working time is only restricted to a certain portion of the week. For example, make sure that if you're not in work, you set up an out-of-office, indicating to others that when they email you, it's clear that you're not at work and you won't be available to answer their email until you're back in the office doing your working hours. Another thing that you can do is have an email signature which indicates the days that you're available and the days that you work. That again can send a clear message to enforce a view that you are not a full-time worker and therefore cannot be available at all the hours. One of the other issues that we often come across in relation to part-time workers is an issue of training. Sometimes it's the case that training is only offered to people who are employed on a full-time basis. Now clearly that is not equitable and needs to be challenged. However, if a member of staff is employed on a 60% contract rather than a 100% contract, if they're asked to undertake 3 full days of training, then that is a week's work for them. Whereas for a full-time worker, 3 days of training is only 60% of a week's work for them. So the impact of being asked to undertake extensive training has a differential impact depending on the amount of hours per week that you're employed. It's important that we take up this issue and make sure that workload doesn't just impact on those people who are employed on a part-time basis. We need to make sure that, first of all, we make management aware of the issue and then ask them to undertake changes so that everyone is treated in an equitable way. We hope that you're enjoying this podcast produced by the Northern Region of the University and College Union. Please don't forget to tell others about our podcasts. You can get our podcasts in any podcast app by simply searching UCU Northern Region. Please don't forget to tell others and also like, favourite, share, subscribe, and leave us a review. Thanks. Now, on with the rest of this episode. You can find a whole wealth of information on our national website. Go to ucu.org.uk/workload campaign, where we have fact sheets, posters, charts, information from branches where they've had local successes, and a whole wealth of information around workload in further education and in higher education as well. One of the regions of the Union, the Eastern and Home Counties, produced a YouTube video which is well worth checking out. You can find it on UCU channel on YouTube, and it's called It's My Time, Workload Campaign Launch by UCU Eastern and Home Counties. We've also got a clip coming up from the regional official who led that campaign introduction, Lydia Richards. Here's Lydia outlining what are the key things to campaign around workload and why we see those as important issues in the coming weeks and months.
Our campaign is going to focus on four key areas for members. So the first is that it's time for a break. Staff are entitled to a break. I'm imagining at the moment you're all sitting in your rooms laughing at the prospect of having a break, but you are legally entitled to a break, whether that's to have a lunch break or also, and more importantly at the moment, the display screen equipment breaks. The regulations there say that you should be having 5 to 10 minutes break in every hour. I would imagine that many of you would just welcome such an opportunity and can't even see it as a reality at the moment. But those are your legal rights. You have a right to enforce those legal rights. You have a right to have those breaks. So that's part of the campaign. And the second strand is it's time to be safe. So again, particularly with those people that we know are going back into campus, there is going to be an increased requirement for you to do things like wash your hands. There's going to be an increased requirement for you to clean your workstations. We've got some institutions where actually the teaching staff are being expected to clean most of the room in between student cohorts. And actually, you need time to do that and paid time to do that. We have one example of an institution where staff are expected to clean in between teaching sessions and they're not being paid for that time. So we've got a major issue about having time to be safe and actually being paid to be safe. And that's again about the employers recognising that if they want a safe campus and a COVID secure campus, then they have to make sure that they provide you with the resources and the time to do what's necessary and what they're promising to students. The third strand is the time to prepare. And that comes back to being able to prepare both for lessons that you're doing or for services that you're providing, actually having the time and the space to think about it and not running from one thing to the next with no time in between. And that also includes time to prepare for next term when we will have more things that are going to be happening to us. So all of this needs to be factored into your workload. You need to be given time in your workload plans to actually prepare for what the work that you're doing. And again, this goes back to a quality issue for employers. If they want quality education, then staff have to have time to prepare it. And then finally, the last strand is time to learn. And this is really important. We know that learning and development is an integral part of your professional role. And that the changes to the way that you do your jobs actually should have the support and resources from your employer. They should be supported there. You should be given time again to learn how to do these things, to learn new equipment, to learn about new ways of working. And again, it's these are the things that seem to be squished out of your working day and put into your own time, and that's not acceptable. So those are the four key strands.
That was Lydia Richards, UCU's regional official in the Eastern and Home Counties. You can find the whole of that video, It's My Time, on UCU's YouTube channel. It includes contributions from the General Secretary of UCU, Joe Grady, and others such as Jane Thompson from the National Office of UCU. Lydia was there outlining the four key strands of the workload campaign that they're helping branches with in their part of the country, and we'll be hoping to get Lydia on a future podcast where she can talk in more detail on the campaign that she's involved in. Thanks for listening to this podcast produced by the Northern Region of the University and College Union. We're the largest post-school union in the world, covering universities, colleges, prisons, adult education and other post-16 training providers. Our membership is around 120,000 of people working in those sectors, and you can join UCU by going to ucu.org.uk/join. Thanks for listening to our podcast, and don't forget you can also follow us on Twitter at UCU Northern. Thanks now.